Our mission here on the Sports Free Agent Podcast is to connect people with their first or next opportunity within the sports industry. We challenge the normal. Think of this as the new resume, a podcast episode which provides insight into individuals on their values, their experiences, and insight into who they really are. We challenge the normal way of doing a job search and hiring process. We're building a database to showcase your next future star employee on our website at www.sportsasajob.com. We flip the roles, so no longer do people get lost in the search, but they get found. Welcome to the Sports Free Agent Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Sports Free Agent Podcast. I have another guest for all of you listeners today, so if you could please introduce yourself to everybody listening right now.
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Court Apodaca. I'm currently a 10-month intern here at Syracuse University. But with everything happening right now, I'm becoming a new free agent.
And one of the things we were talking about before we started recording is that you're from California, but it seems like you've traveled all the way around to East Coast and to the other side of the country for different experiences. So tell me about your undergraduate study, because you mentioned you were also a softball player. So tell me about your experience as a student athlete.
Yeah, so originally I actually went to a small Christian school here in California, in Fullerton. And, you know, I spent 2 years there and thought it was going to be the time of my life, you know, worked my entire life to get to play college softball. And the experience that I had there didn't turn out the way I wanted to be. So going into my junior year, I decided I wanted to transfer schools. And I kind of at that point thought my softball career was over. So I was like, okay, let's see what else is out there. Long story short, one of my best friends from high school ended up playing softball at Chestnut Hill College as well. And when she found out I was not going to return to my other school, she was like, okay, I texted my coach, you're coming, like, you were going to get you here kind of thing. So it's kind of what took me back to the East Coast. I never really originally thought I would be, you know, leaving California and going there, but those 2 years I spent at Chestnut Hill College in Philly were great years, and it definitely helped me build kind of where I am at now. I went in as a business major, didn't really know. I mean, I knew I wanted to work in sports, but wasn't really sure kind of where. And I ended up changing my major halfway through like the first semester into marketing with a minor in sports management. So that's kind of how I got to the East Coast. And I mean, my story is a little different than most. I started right after college. I graduated. I worked for a nonprofit, and did development and communications for them. And I did that for about a year and a half. And I loved it there. It just definitely wasn't something that I was passionate about. So I kind of took the step back and said, okay, how do I get into the sports industry? I mean, I had internships in college, from working for a minor league baseball team to working for my college's athletic department, running their social media and their website and things like that. So I had the experience. I just needed a way kind of in. So from there, after I was like, okay, how do I get started? I took an inside sales position with the Los Angeles Kings, and did that for about 6 months, and very, very quickly realized I was not a salesperson. I just didn't have that personality to try to sell someone on some $20,000 seats at the Staples Center. So I was like, okay, well, what can I do next? How can I kind of, you know, get into marketing, which is exactly what I wanted to do. And that's when the position at Syracuse opened, and I was just fortunate enough to get that position.
So what is it? Well, actually, let's stick on that point, because I do like that you mentioned the whole sales thing, because I talk about it frequently. And I tell people, yeah, sales is your way into the sports industry. But if you know it's not your strong suit, or it's not something you like, when you get your foot in the door, I mean, it's not going to do you any good if you don't like it, right? So now that you're at Syracuse, tell me about that position and what it is you're currently doing with them.
Yeah, so I've been there since July. I'm actually almost over. It's almost over now. I mean, with everything going on with COVID-19, I'm kind of staying on a little longer than anticipated. But basically my role throughout the season was I was in charge of the women's soccer and women's lacrosse marketing plans. So I was the main contact for them there, ran everything from the in-game production to graphics to social media, everything like that, assisting, working with all the coaches that were involved and things like that. I was also the on-court production lead for women's basketball. So that was just, you know, fulfilling sponsorship agreements that we had with IMG and making sure that everything went smoothly for the marketing person who was in charge of it. And then, you know, kind of everything. I mean, I helped with our rewards app, which is a Q's app that's online that can bring in students and fans into an app during the game. So, you know, you check in at a football game and you have 500 people who check into the app and they can answer trivia questions and challenges and things like that. I was in charge of managing like 50 plus interns on game days, especially during football season. Mainly during football season, it was like 50 plus, but, you know, kind of helping run all of the interns throughout the year, and just a variety of different projects. I mean, I even took positions working with like the development department, which is the Orange Club, and trying to just see if maybe that was a route that I wanted to go on, since I had done that with my nonprofit and I kind of knew what it was like, and stuff like that. So kind of just trying to get my foot in the door. I mean, that's what those positions are for anyways. And so I definitely think I've learned a lot in my 10 months with them.
It seems like you've been all over the country. You've done all these different experiences with all these different types of jobs. And I'm sure along the way, you learned a lot about yourself. So Corey, what are your top three strengths, you would say?
Oh, God. Oh, my top three strengths. That's a great question. I guess I would say that I'm a team player. You know, no matter what the situation was that came up at Syracuse, if we had a student intern who couldn't run the game that they were supposed to run, I kind of always was the one that'd be like, hey, I'll do it. Like, I'm not doing anything else. Like, I'll work the field hockey game, even though it's not my sport that I'm supposed to run or whatever like that. So, you know, kind of, I mean, and in sports, everyone knows it's all being part of a team, whether you're on the field or off the field, behind the scenes kind of thing. So I think that'd be my one big strength. I guess communication. I love being able to, you know, communicate with as many people as possible. Whether it was someone from the communication staff or one of the coaches or someone from the development team that, you know, we were having alumni weekend, making sure that they completely understood everything that was going on. And then I'm a hard worker. I'm going to do it. I mean, I've traveled, I've been to California, Pennsylvania, New York. I'm willing to do basically anything and go anywhere to kind of just, you know, build my career in that way.
Mm-hmm. And hats off to you. You know, it's not a knock to the people that stay at home and get jobs and they're fortunate enough to do that. Like, that's a good thing. But being from Hawaii myself and moving from Hawaii all the way to Minnesota, I understand the challenges of going to these different places, different cultures, different states. And it's a tough thing. And that does speak a lot to your work ethic and your willingness and your drive to do certain things. Now, let's have a little bit of fun with it. This question will probably catch you off guard, so take the time to think about it. Are you a Disney fan? Are you a Disney fan, first off?
Oh, of course. I live in Southern California. I go to Disneyland all the time.
Well, the question is, if you were a Disney character, who would you be and why?
Oh, boy. That's a great question. any Disney character, that's so
any
hard.
Disney character. Let me give you my answer when I was asked. So the story behind this thing is I was actually asked this question before a movie theater job. I was going to work at the summer at one summer. I was going to work in the movie theater and they asked me that question. And that question's always stick with me. And I was like, dude, a lot more people should ask this question because it's fun. Yeah. It breaks up the mood. Mm-hmm. But also it's critical thinking. So with our student athletes, this past semester, we had a senior transition program. And I asked them this question. I was like, hey, just be aware from all the people I've talked to in my personal experiences with some of the sport management jobs, you get asked some weird questions sometimes. Right. And then my answer at the time was absolutely horrible. It was Wreck-It Ralph. I said, oh, I'd probably be Wreck-It Ralph just because, you know, I'm a gentle giant and I like to break things down and break it back up. And then, and when I listened back to it and I thought about it, I was like, horrible, horrible answer. So just to save you, that's my horrible answer. Oh my Hopefully God. I gave you some time to think about it, about who you would be.
I mean, I guess my favorite movie growing up all time was Lion King. my entire room was Lion King. I had Nala and Simba and all the characters on my walls and stickers and my bedding and everything was Lion King. So I guess like right off the bat, my first initial answer would be Simba. You know, he's not really a leader at the beginning and he wants to be, and you can tell because he tries to get Nala to follow in his footsteps. But, you know, as he grows older and realizes that he's meant to be the leader of Pride Rock and the Pride Lands and everything like that, I think that's kind of where I feel like I've been. At first, I kind of, even playing softball growing up, I never really wanted to be the leader. I always was like, okay, yeah, like, you know, I'll show you how I can lead through my, like, athletic ability. But even in college, I kind of knew I needed to step up and be that leader that my team needed. And even in my career now, I realize that, you know, even at Syracuse, leading the interns and leading those people who are going to look at you in the long run and be like, okay, I learned from them. So I think Simba would be my answer, just because he's a silent leader and realizes what he's actually meant to be.
That's a perfect answer. I swear, if I gave that answer when I was applying for that movie job, I probably wouldn't have been cleaning the seats. I probably would have been the manager telling people what to do. But, you know, leading with that, one of the favorite questions I like to ask people is 10 years from now, Corey, what do you envision yourself doing? If you could really just choose what you would be doing 10 years from now, what would that be?
I think 10 years from now, I would love to be an athletic director at a small school, kind of like Chestnut Hill was. That's kind of what my end, I guess you can't say end goal because who knows what an end goal could mm-hmm. be. But that's kind of what my dream kind of has been from the beginning. Being at Chestnut Hill, which is a small Division II school, it's, I mean, not anything like Syracuse ever or Kansas where I go for my grad school is anything like. Super small. Most of the students who attend Chestnut Hill are college athletes. And that's kind of it. You're either a college athlete or you're not at that school. And most of you are a college athlete. So I learned so much from my athletic department people, whether it was my academic advisor or one of our athletic directors, and kind of just being able to really understand where I wanted to go in my career and in life. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I think I would want to be an athletic director at a small school, at least in 10 years, because you kind of just get to build those relationships with your athletes a little bit more than you do at a big school like Syracuse.
Yeah, and a lot of people right off the bat will say, I want to be a big Division I athletic director, but yeah. It's not always necessarily the right fit, right? I work at a Division II school. Many of the podcast guests I had in the Sports the Job podcast work at the lower levels, and they've been to D1, and you've been to D1 as well, mm-hmm. and you just find out it's a whole different thing, and it's not a knock to them. It's not saying it's a bad thing. It's just sometimes as a person being aware of what the right fit is super important. And I think that's something. Right. Well, you mentioned, you know, career-wise, you figured kind of out what you wanted to do. You also mentioned something in there, life-wise, you kind of figured out what you wanted. I guess then let's go into 10 years from now. Who is Corey as a person? What does she still value 10 years from now?
Oh, God. I think 10 years from now, I mean, let's say I have that athletic director position. I would hope to be like that good leader that what Simba embodies and everything like that, to tie all your questions kind of together. Definitely still value like family and friends and, you know, having fun, but realizing that like 10 years from now, if you are that athletic director, you're building young minds. So I hope to be that person in the long run. I mean, I've learned from a lot of great people, my bosses at Syracuse, the people that I met at Chestnut Hill, even the people I maybe didn't learn a lot from that I didn't think I was gonna learn a lot from at my first school. But you know, learning, those are the things that I don't want to be in a leader. Mm-hmm. So, I guess that would be kind of, you know, hoping to be that leader and being somebody's role model in at least 10 years, maybe even sooner. Who knows?
It could happen next year. It could happen within the next 6 months. Life has mysterious ways, the way it works, but no, it seems that everything that you said, sports is more than just a game. It's about mentoring people, building the future leaders, giving people opportunity, different things like that. So what does sports mean to you? What is the power of sports?
I mean, the power of sports, I think it's a way to build a connection to your community. I mean, in these days of COVID-19, everyone's missing out on sports because I think it's something that they realize that they're missing because that's what connects them to people. It might connect you to your neighbor or, you know, your friend who lives across the country. Maybe you guys like the same team and that's what you guys really bond over. Mm-hmm. And I think you kind of will always remember your first big sports moment in your life, whether it was your favorite team winning the Super Bowl or, you know, you attending a sellout game with your favorite college team or favorite professional team. I mean, those are the kind of takeaways that I've learned that, you know, that's what, when I went to I grew up a USC fan. We in Southern California for a long time, you didn't have NFL. So going to USC games growing up with my grandpa, those are the memories that I remember and will have taken into my career. When, you know, thinking about, okay, what will, you know, this grandpa and their daughter or their granddaughter or grandson love, you know, in a marketing kind of way. And so I guess Yeah. but yeah, so I think that's what's important. And that's kind of what sports mean to me. It's about building that connection and having people just have that lasting memory of hoping that it was the game that, you know, maybe changed their life.
Yeah. And it's beautiful because everybody that I've been able to talk to so far has kind of said the same answer in a similar way, that we help create these powerful moments. We help create these opportunities with these games, with the social media platforms, and just let people know, like, hey, you know, you have the power to impact somebody's lives through sports. Mm-hmm. I think everybody who listened to this has definitely gained more insight into who you are, Corey. And I think you've done an amazing, you know, you've done an amazing job answering the difficult questions I've thrown your way. For the people listening out there who want to get in touch with you or contact you or network with you, where can they find you on the different social media platforms?
My LinkedIn is just Corey Apodaca. Go ahead and, you know, add me as a friend. On Twitter, I've, you know, made that more, a little bit more professional nowadays. So it's, I think it's underscore Corey A, at Twitter. And then on Instagram, it's, also Corey A.
Perfect. Simple, straight to the point. And people, I'll put it in the, episode bio so you can know how to get into contact with Corey. Thank you for coming on. For everybody listening, whether you're a hiring manager or looking for your first or next opportunity, please visit us at www.sportsisajob.com. And like we always say, we want people to get found in the search and not lost.